You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast right now and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Man, y'all, been a crazy, crazy week when it comes to the world of sports. But let me first start off the show talking about how good this weather has been recently, man. We've been in the 70s, high 60s, low 70s this past week. It's felt really, really good outside. I don't know about y'all, but down here in Georgia, finally getting some pretty consistent weather. So excited about that. Can't wait for it to warm up a little bit more so we don't have to bundle up as much. But be careful, y'all, because this is walking pneumonia weather. So make sure you are dressed accordingly and dressed appropriately. But y'all, look, I've been getting my workouts in. I feel great. Make sure y'all get in this gym. If you haven't been, man, it's go time. Get in the gym. Make sure you're healthy and fit. But yeah, like I said, crazy stuff going on in the sports world. Can't wait to dive into it with you all on today's episode. We got Super Bowl 59 coming up this Sunday. So we'll talk and preview that. I'll dive deeper into that matchup between the Chiefs and the Eagles. Talk about some important factors that could be deciding factors of that game. We got some NBA trade deadline stuff going on right now, college basketball, some trade requests, and just all around crazy stuff as we all love to hear about in the sports world. So without further ado, let's kick into it, man, because like I said, we have Super Bowl 59 coming up this Sunday. This is a bittersweet time and for us football fans. Because this is the last football game of the year. Well, not of the year, but of the season until, you know, August to September when we get to college football. Just wanted to dive into that. But I apologize. Before I get into that, I did want to quickly mention that if you hadn't seen this already, Chicago Bears owner, Virginia Hallis McCaskey, who inherited the Chicago Bears from her father, George Hallis, passed away today at the age of 102. This was 4+ decades as the principal owner that she was of the Chicago Bears. The family did announce that she did pass away on Thursday. She had owned the Bears since her father's death on October 31st, 1983. In the statement that was released for Virginia McCaskey, it says, "While we are sad, we are comforted knowing Virginia Hallis McCaskey lived a long, full, faith-filled life and is now the love of her life on earth." The family said, "If she guided the Bears for 4 decades and based every business decision on what was best for Bears players, coaches, staff, and fans." So that was a statement from the family. And it says, obviously, you know, with Virginia McCaskey, she, you know, her father was a co-founder of the NFL. If you don't know the NFL history as much, George Hallis was a co-founder of the NFL. So, you know, McCaskey family name runs really, really deep in Chicago. And, you know, she did, over time, she gave that operational control and the title of president to her eldest son, who's Michael McCaskey. And then he served as a chairman until he was succeeded by his brother, George McCaskey, in 2011, who is now, you know, obviously still in seat right now. But just wanted to say, you know, rest in peace to Virginia Hallis McCaskey. Thoughts and prayers and condolences go out to the McCaskey family. But yeah, talking about and getting to Super Bowl 59, just picking back up where I left off. We have the Chiefs and the Eagles. Man, what a showdown we're going to get on Sunday. The Chiefs, who are 15-2, going up against the 14-3 Eagles. Again, this Sunday, February 9th, 6:30 p.m. on Fox. Kansas City is favored by just 1 point. So the spread is 1 point. The over-under in this game is 48.5. So interesting matchup that we have. But the ESPN Analytics matchup predictor actually gives the Eagles a 56% chance to win this game versus the Chiefs with a 43% chance to win this game. Season leaders for both teams. Let's just look at that from the passing perspective. Obviously, you have Patrick Mahomes for the Chiefs for over 3,900 yards, 26 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions. Jalen Hurts on the other side with the Eagles threw for over 2,900 yards, 18 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. Rushing leaders for both teams would be Kareem Hunt for the Chiefs, who has had 728 total yards to offense and 7 touchdowns this year. Saquon Barkley with a monster year for the Philadelphia Eagles, 2,000-yard rusher with 13 touchdowns. Didn't get a chance to break that Eric Dickerson record, but what an outstanding season for Saquon Barkley and the Philadelphia Eagles. Looking at this matchup in even further, just from an injury standpoint, we know some players that on the Kansas City Chiefs side that won't be playing this game. You got Sky Moore, Rashee Rice, Mecole Hardman. All three guys are on IR right now. Philadelphia, you have Brandon Graham. He was on IR as well. Jalen Carter is questionable. He did have like an illness, I believe he was like sick or something. But he should be good to go. You got Kenneth Gainwell, who's questionable as well. But I do believe that those guys will be ready to go come Sunday. But this matchup here, it's a rematch from 2 years ago. When Jalen Hurts nearly led the Eagles to a championship, only to watch Mahomes. They did grab it away in those last final minutes of the game, 38-35. Harrison Buckner knocked in a 27-yard field goal with 8 seconds left. But obviously we know that was after the penalty, the holding call that gave the Chiefs pretty much the game there. So, the Chiefs are trying to become the first team in NFL history to three-peat. So big things are at stake for them. And then the Eagles are trying to win their franchise's second Super Bowl. If you all remember and recall, their first Super Bowl was in 2018 when they defeated the New England Patriots. Now, they do have other NFC championships prior to that earlier on in the year. So I think they have about four championships. But as far as Super Bowls, when it's actually called the Super Bowl, they only have one as of right now, which is, again, 2018 when they defeated the New England Patriots. So just a preview of that matchup. Later on in the show, we're going to talk more about and get more in depth on this in just a little bit. But wanted to shift gears here, talk about what's been going on in the NBA because the deadline is approached, and a lot of crazy things have happened from a trade standpoint in the NBA. Wanted to highlight some of the ones and talk about what I feel like was the most surprising trade or trades that have taken place so far. So for me, first and foremost, got to highlight Luka Doncic being traded to the Los Angeles Lakers in exchange for Anthony Davis. So this trade right here, the Mavericks, again, they get Anthony Davis, they get Max Christie, they get a 2029 first round pick from the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers get Luka, Maxi Kleber, and Markieff Morris. This was crazy. I mean, I didn't understand this trade when it happened. I was like, woke up at like, I think 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and saw that this went down. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, What kind of trade is this? I mean, it was just weird to see. Anthony Davis getting traded away. And then at that time, the Lakers obviously didn't have a center after they traded away Anthony Davis. They have since then addressed that, which I will get to that next. But, looking at this, you give Anthony Davis to Kyrie Irving. That's going to be an intriguing, pair to watch. But then you look at the Lakers, bringing Luka over, obviously Luka being a dynamic player that he is. Me personally, Luka doesn't play any defense. So yes, he's an outstanding scorer. He's a really, really good player, but he doesn't play defense. So on the defensive side, that's going to be a liability for the Lakers. And then he's also banged up a lot of the time. I mean, I don't really know how that's going to work out. I'm not saying that they can't play together. I know some people have come out and said that they can't play together. But me personally, I just think it just comes down to Luka being a liability on the defensive side of the ball and then just being injury prone. I mean, similar to Anthony Davis. I mean, Anthony Davis was always injured. Luka is a beast. Like I said, not going to take anything away from it, but it will be, intriguing to watch. And, you know, with the Lakers having that vacant center position, they did also go out and get a center from the Hornets, Mark Williams. But with that trade, they did give away Dalton Kennett, Cam Reddish, a 2031 unprotected first-round pick and a 2030 pick swap. So that was kind of weird, just seeing them trade away Dalton Kennett. They just drafted. Trading away in his rookie year, that is weird. But they had to get a center, so they go out and get Mark Williams. I mean, I guess I'm not going to sit up here and tell you, like, this is a championship team. I mean, I'm not. I mean, they got better, but me personally, I'm not going to sit up here and say, like a lot of people I've seen say, oh, you know, just give the Lakers the trophy now, give them the championship now. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to sit up here and just crown them the champions just because, I mean, who else is left on their bench? I mean, where's the bench, you know? So I don't know. We'll see how it all works out, but, you know, giving away Anthony Davis and, Connect, that was interesting. But again, I mean, they still got Austin Reeves. So that'll be, you know, big for them. They still got Roy Huchamara. But, you know, I still don't think this is a championship, you know, team. Like, they're not penciled into the NBA Finals. I could still see a first-round exit if we want to keep it 100. But first or second round exit. But anyway, moving on, another trade that was shocking and crazy, Jimmy Butler getting traded to the Warriors. So this is a 14 blockbuster trade that happened, but the Warriors ended up getting Jimmy Butler. The Miami Heat get PJ Tucker, Andrew Wiggins, Kyle Anderson, and a protected first round pick. Didn't expect to see Jimmy Butler going to the Warriors. I don't even, I know there was a couple of teams that were flying around, but I wasn't paying attention, but I didn't hear the Warriors as being one of those teams. So for me, this was probably the most surprising just because I personally, I don't know. I wanted the whole Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green on the same team is just thinking about it just makes me laugh because I personally feel like Jimmy and Draymond are going to try to kill each other. I mean, you got two high-strung players. I mean, they play with a lot of passion, a lot of energy. They're very vocal. So, you know, at some point, these guys are going to clash and they're going to bump heads. So, I don't think it'll take long for that to happen. But, yeah, I mean, just Jimmy and Draymond on the same team just raises some eyebrows for me. So I just don't personally know how that's going to work out, but I am interested to see. Other trades that took place that I wanted to highlight. There was a three-team trade deal that happened where the Bulls, my Chicago Bulls, did trade away Zach LaVine. This doesn't surprise me just because they've been trying to trade away Zach LaVine for a while now. It's just he's been injured, so made it harder to do. But they trade away again Zach LaVine to the Sacramento Kings. So, he'll be with DeMar DeRozan again. So they'll be pairing up. The Bulls did get Zach Collins, Trey Jones, and Kevin Huerter. They also got 2025 first-round pick, which was their own pick from the Spurs. So they get their own pick back. So we'll see what happens with that. I'm hearing that they could be as high as the fifth pick, maybe even higher. So we'll see what happens there. San Antonio Spurs were also the other team that was involved in this trade. They did get De'Aaron Fox and Jordan McLaughlin. So, yep, those were some of the trades that I wanted to highlight. I know that there are some still going on, you know, that I didn't cover each and every single one of them, but I just wanted to highlight some that kind of jumped out to me from the get-go, ahead of the trade deadline. Now, me personally, I did want to say one thing, because there's been a lot of talk going on about the fact that they're saying that, oh, LeBron didn't know about Luka getting traded to the Lakers. He didn't know that was going to happen. Like, I've seen a lot of people come out and say, oh, you know, he didn't know that anything about it. They didn't consult him. They didn't say anything about it to him. This. And, you know, I personally don't believe that at all. I'm not buying that one bit. I am not buying that at all. You know, to sit up here and say that, you know, all these years LeBron has been the GM of every team that he's been at, right? LeBron calls the shots. If LeBron wants a player in Cleveland or Miami, you know, they're going to do what they need to do to get whoever LeBron wants. He puts these teams together. Like, we've heard this for years and years about how LeBron has been not only the star player of the team, but also pretty much the GM of the team, too. So you're going to sit up here and tell me that now, one of the biggest trades that we've seen involving his team, that nobody picked up the phone and consulted him about it at all? Like, I'm sorry. I refuse to believe that. I personally refuse to believe that, and I'm not going to. I don't care. There's nothing that you could convince me to believe that. And I don't know if y'all seen Remember the Titans. Everybody's seen Remember the Titans, but this is just reminds me of the scene with my boy Petey when they're walking out of the bar. You know, this was my reaction when they said, oh, LeBron James didn't know about Luka being traded to the Lakers. It was, what you mean you didn't know? Like, what do you mean? I don't know. I don't know. But, hey, that's neither here nor there. Whatever. It is what it is. But, yeah, just wanted to bring that up. Yeah, so let's move on. Let's talk more Super Bowl. So let's talk about who's under more pressure to win Super Bowl 59. Now, when I look at this matchup, I was thinking about this for a while, and I thought, and I said, hey, you know, I felt like the Eagles, you know, had that pressure, more pressure. But then when I really sat and thought about it, I would have to say the Chiefs have more pressure. They're under more pressure to win Super Bowl 59. And you may think I'm crazy for saying that, but just think about it. They have more pressure because they're trying to become the first team to three-peat. So we've never seen a team in NFL history three-peat, right? So all eyes are going to be on them. They are the favorite in this game, even though it's only by 1 point. They're still the favorite. I kind of compare this. It's similar to when the Giants played the Patriots in the Super Bowl in 2007, right? When New England was chasing the undefeated season. I know everybody recalls that. New England's chasing the undefeated season. They get all the way to the Super Bowl. The Giants were the underdog, right, in that game, which allowed them to be more lax, play their game. And so it could be a similar feel for the Philadelphia Eagles as well, right? So looking at this, everybody's been talking about Patrick Mahomes in the media. If he three-peats, is he going to be the GOAT? Which I'm going to talk about that later, too. The Chiefs are set to be the first team to ever do this. They're one of the greatest dynasties. You know, all the attention has been about the Chiefs, right? Primarily the Chiefs. Obviously, they've been talking about both teams, but the storyline, the head storyline of the Super Bowl is the Chiefs three-peating. So that's why I personally feel like the Chiefs have more pressure, because no team has done this, right? It's not the fact that they're in the Super Bowl, because they've been to the Super Bowl, right? Multiple times. This is Patrick Mahomes' what, fifth appearance in the Super Bowl. It's not the fact that they're getting to the Super Bowl. It's the fact that they're facing the pressure of trying to do something that's never been done before, which can be pressure. And also, you look, we don't know how much longer Andy Reid's going to be coaching him, right? We don't know when Andy Reid's going to retire. Could he retire after this year? Could he retire next year? You never know, right? So we'll see what happens there. But and with that being said, I still do think the Eagles have a good amount of pressure, though, because looking at the Eagles, right, they have the overall better team top to bottom on paper, right? They have the better running back. They have better wide receivers. They have a better O-line and defensive line. And, you know, this will be their second time facing the Chiefs, right? So knowing that you're the better team, that can, you know, add some pressure as well, because this is the second time they're facing them, right? Like I just said, if you're Hurts and the Eagles, like, you don't want to lose to Mahomes, you know, twice, right? Especially when they know that they could have and should have beaten them 2 years ago if it wasn't for that horrendous holding penalty to give the Chiefs the game. I don't care what you say. You don't call that, man. That's not how you end the Super Bowl. I don't know, man. I still to this day, I'll die on that hill that was just ridiculous for them to call that in that moment. But again, I do think that the Eagles are also feeling some pressure. Now, I just think that the Chiefs have, they're under more. But like I mentioned before, with this being similar to that Giants and Patriots Super Bowl in 07, just think about it. Patriots were in the forefront, center of attention. Chiefs right now, forefront, center of attention, which can allow, like I said before, the Eagles to play lax, play their game. We'll see what happens. So just wanted to touch on that. More to come on the Super Bowl in just a little bit. But let's talk about the AP Top 25 rankings in college basketball really quickly. Just wanted to run down those, give you guys a glimpse into the top 10 currently. And I also wanted to say and tell you how many number one seeds do I think the SEC can get in the NCAA tournament, because we're winding down, man. We're going to be there before you know it. March Madness is coming. You know, we only have it's about 9 games left, if I'm not mistaken. So we're closing in on conference tournaments. And so this is exciting time as well. But looking at the top 10, I'll just read it down for you currently as it stands. Auburn is number 1, Duke number 2, Alabama number 3, Tennessee number 4, Houston number 5, Florida 6, Purdue 7, Iowa State 8, Michigan State 9, Texas A&M is 10. So just looking at this right now, the SEC with 5 teams in the top 10. So the SEC, you know, by far the best conference in the country, top to bottom. I don't care what, whatever you have to say about it, looking at the SEC this year, SEC is a powerhouse in basketball this year. I mean, the SEC has elevated over the years, but this year in particular, you have a lot of teams in the SEC that could be in the tournament, right? Like I said, there's 5 in the top 10 right now. And so, I mean, you look at teams that were in the bottom of the SEC that are even better, that have gotten better, like Ole Miss. You know, Ole Miss is a team. They're a tough team. You know, they actually are a team that could, you know, if they were to get in the tournament, they could give teams, you know, a tough time. So just looking at the SEC and just how, you know, they played this season and just that the conference in general, looking at how battle tested they are, I do think that the SEC can get at least 3-1 seeds in the tournament. I do think that they can do that. Because I personally, I think, and I hate to say it, you know, but I do think Auburn and Alabama will be number one seeds. They will be one seeds. Tennessee could potentially be a one seed. Tennessee, because they're sitting at number four right now. So, again, you could potentially have, if everything stays the way it does, which, you know, is basketball, so things could shift. But let's just hypothetically say if the season ended right now, you would have Auburn, Duke, Alabama, and Tennessee would probably be your one seeds. So, again, that's three SEC teams that would get one seeds. Now, whoever's going to be the number one overall seed, that's still TBA. I mean, to be determined. I said say TBD. So we'll see what happens there. But just wanted to give y'all a quick rundown of the top 25 rankings. Let's talk about a trade request real quickly that happened in the NFL as well this week when Myles Garrett requested to be traded from the Cleveland Browns. So the four-time first-team All-Pro 2023 Defensive Player of the Year has requested to be traded from the Cleveland Browns. He's currently under contract with the Browns through 2026. Now, some of the teams that have come up are the Bills, Cowboys, Eagles, and Lions for him to be traded to. For me, I personally would love to see him in Chicago playing for the Bears, of course. I mean, could you imagine, you know, Montez Sweat on one side, Myles Garrett on the other side on that defense? Like, my God, like, that would be insane. I mean, just imagine you're a quarterback and you know you have Myles Garrett and Montez Sweat on both sides. Like, good luck, you know? So, but everything is going to depend on, you know, what's the Browns' asking price, right, for Myles Garrett. And, you know, if it's doable, you know, don't sleep on the Bears making, you know, a swing at it. I do think that the Bears do need to be smart, though, with, you know, hanging on to that draft capital because there are other pressing issues that they need to address, offensive line being number one. So making sure they go after, you know, in addressing the offensive line issues in free agency prior to the draft, that could give them a little more wiggle room to go after other key positions of need. So, you know, we'll see how it all plays out, but keep our eyes open. We'll follow that story on Myles Garrett's trade request and, you know, where he eventually does end up. So y'all keep a pin there because we will revisit that once that trade does go down. All right, let's continue on and talk about back to Super Bowl talk. Now, this is a big topic of discussion. I mentioned this earlier in the show about, you know, Mahomes being considered the GOAT over Brady if he three-peats. So that's the question. You know, a lot of people, you know, have said that Patrick Mahomes should be considered a GOAT if he three-peats. He's the GOAT over Tom Brady. And for me, no, I wouldn't put Mahomes as the GOAT over Tom Brady. Let's just pump the brakes for a second. Brady's played in 10 Super Bowls, right? 10 Super Bowls. He has played in 10. He's won 7. And his last Super Bowl that he won was against the Chiefs. So have we forgotten that Brady already beat Patrick Mahomes on the biggest stage? What are we talking about? And, you know, and this isn't to say that Mahomes can't win as many Super Bowls as Tom Brady, playing as many Super Bowls as Tom Brady, or even win more than Tom Brady by the end of his career. But to say he's the GOAT right now when he didn't even beat Brady is just crazy to me, you know? So I would have to say no for right now. I can't say that Patrick Mahomes is the GOAT when they faced head-to-head and Brady won. And I think that, you know, people are looking at the fact that Mahomes, he's won 3 championships faster. This would be his 5th appearance in a shorter amount of time And, you know, for me, while three-peating has never been done before, it would be absolutely legendary. It would be insane. You know, we can't just dethrone Brady. And then Brady, you even look at the competition, Brady played tougher competition as well. I mean, we don't necessarily even have to go down that route, but the NFL then and the NFL now is, you know, when Brady was doing it, is two totally different things. I mean, we all know that. Look at the penalties that the Chiefs get. Look at the calls that Mahomes gets. I'm not going to say Brady didn't get some calls too, but my God, I mean, Mahomes, you can't sneeze on Mahomes. You'll get ejected from the game. So, you know, I'm not going to sit up here and say that Mahomes is the GOAT over Brady if he three-peats. I'm not. He will be right there behind Brady to me. Right there behind Brady, like an inch behind Brady, just because Brady didn't three-peat. But I'm just saying, man, that the head-to-head, for me, a lot of people like to overlook things like this, but head-to-head matters, right? To me, head-to-head has to matter. You even can take that back to even college football. You look at college football matchups, head-to-head, not all the time, dealing with the committee that we have. Don't even get me started on that. But head-to-head has to mean something. Head-to-head has to matter. So for me, Brady already beat Mahomes. Mahomes will never get a chance to beat Brady. So unless Brady comes out of retirement, which that's not going to happen. Well, we don't know that. But I don't think Brady's coming out of retirement again, because he pump faked that one time. But until Mahomes, you know, wins, and I don't know, I'm not even going to say he has to win 7, but I just, right now, I'm just not ready to give it to him over Brady right now. And we're talking as if he's already three-peated. He hadn't three-peated yet. So, again, if he does three-peat, I think he'll be right behind him. I mean, he's still right behind him as it is right now, but I'm just not ready to say that. I just can't. I mean, I just can't, and I won't. But everybody has their own opinion. That's just mine. So just wanted to throw that out there. And now comes the time in the show where we get to make a prediction, ladies and gentlemen. So let's break this thing down, and I'm going to give you guys my Super Bowl pick. Again, Sunday, February 9th, Chiefs, Eagles, 6:30 p.m., Fox, Kansas City, 1-point favorite, 48.5 is the over-under. Let's first take a trip back down memory lane before I talk about, you know, my picks and break this game down even more, I should say, and then give you my pick. The first Super Bowl matchup between both of these, right, was Super Bowl 57. Again, the Chiefs won that one 38-35. Patrick Mahomes in that game threw for 182, 3 touchdowns. Jalen outplayed him, threw for 304 in a touchdown. Not from a touchdown. And then he also, threw for 304 and a passing touchdown. And he also rushed for 70 yards and 3 touchdowns. So he did outplay Mahomes in that first matchup. And then you got other guys that were key contributors. You know, obviously, Travis Kelce had 81 yards and a touchdown. Smitty did have 100 yards receiving in that game. Isaiah Pacheco for the Chiefs did have 76 yards rushing, so under 100 yards, but he did score a touchdown for them. Each of the teams. So for me, I like to look at what were some deciding factors in this matchup that we can look at this time around, right? Because the Eagles, looking at this, they had 302 yards passing. The Chiefs only had 182. Now, the Chiefs did outrush them 158-115, right? So that was something that was interesting to watch. But the big thing that was the deciding factor was the turnover battle. If we all remember Jalen Hurts, you know, the Eagles were winning that game at the time. Jalen and the Eagles got the ball back with the lead, and this was in the second quarter, and Jalen gets stripped, and the Chiefs have a scoop and score that brought them even closer, I think within like 3 points or something at that time. But that was a big, huge turning point and swing in that game, because the Eagles would have driven down and scored right there. Then you put even more pressure on the Chiefs to play from even further behind. Now, in the red zone, both of these teams were pretty even. They both had 5 red zone trips. The Chiefs were 4 out of 5. The Eagles were 3 out of 5. So I think the turnover battle and then also the red zone trips are going to be, you know, obviously the deciding factor, right? And look, when you get down there, can you score touchdowns, right? Because you don't want to trade touchdowns for field goals. But who's going to get key stops in the red zone, right? Who's going to, what defense is going to bend but not break? And even in the first Super Bowl matchup, the Eagles controlled the time of possession 35-24. But again, that turnover, that scoop and score was a deciding factor, because if that score didn't happen, the Eagles would have won that game. They could have, if you take that score off the board, right, that touchdown, Eagles would have won 35-31. Maybe even had more points than that, because they could have potentially had that. That could have been a touchdown drive on the drive that, you know, Jalen fumbled. So, you know, turnovers, who protecting the football is going to be important, right? So those are some things that I just wanted to highlight, a couple of things that happened in that game. You know, fast forward into this matchup that we do have to pay attention to. Now, let's look at some postseason leaders, right, as we could begin to break down this game even more. So this is this year in the postseason, right? On the offensive side of the ball, Jalen Hurts is top 5 in passing. So he comes in at 5 with 505 yards passing. Now, rushing, Saquon Barkley, no surprise there, number 1 in the postseason right now with 442 yards. And then you look at Dallas Goedert, another Eagle. He's top 5 when it comes to receiving. He has 188 yards receiving in the postseason right now. Now, let's look at the defensive side of the ball, because Bond for the Eagles, defensive back, 26 total tackles. Then you have Blankenship, Burks. Blankenship has 24 tackles. Burks has 20 tackles. So 3 Eagles players are leading, are top 5 when in tackles. On the defensive side, sacks, Nolan Smith Jr., 4 sacks in the postseason right now. Now, we know that he will not be playing in the Super Bowl, because he did have a season-ending injury where he tore his pectoral muscles, so he will not be playing in his game. So that's going to be a huge loss, obviously, for the Eagles to not have him out there. But they've still been able to manage. From an interception perspective, you look at the leaders on interceptions. You have Quinion Mitchell for the Eagles. He has 2 interceptions in the postseason, and you have Darius Slay with 1 interception. So taking away the football definitely has been something that the Eagles have done in this postseason. And team leaders. Let's look at team leaders and break that down. Now, for the Eagles, they are in the postseason currently, they're 2nd in rushing, so at 227 yards a game. And then you have the Eagles and the Chiefs. They're also, from a sack perspective, the Chiefs are number 2 in sacks with 10. They actually are tied for 2nd. So Chiefs and Eagles both tied for 2nd with 10 sacks in the postseason. And look at this. The Eagles, number 1 in turnover point differential with 10. Right. So 10 point differential when it comes to turnovers. So, you know, those are some key factors that I wanted to bring up as we go into this postseason. I mean, as we've been going through the postseason now up until this point in the Super Bowl. Now, for me, looking at, you know, the fact that the Chiefs and the Eagles are, you know, tied for sacks, right, with 10 sacks, it's going to be about who can get that pressure, right? For the Chiefs, you look at Jalen Hurts, his QBR is 6 versus pressure this postseason, right, which is 11 among, like, 14 playoff quarterbacks. So, obviously, we know the Chiefs, they like to blitz a lot. So, they're going to obviously bring a lot of pressure. Now, what are the Eagles going to do to combat that? You know, pop some screens in there to Saquon Barkley, be able to break some runs, you know, run into that, you know, put some pressure on the Chiefs defense, right? But the Chiefs are not going to be afraid to blitz. They're not going to be afraid to bring that extra guy, right, and force Jalen Hurts to have to beat them. Now, same thing on the Eagles' end. They're going to have to be able to, you know, bring pressure and get to Patrick Mahomes as well. Get him out of rhythm. Don't let him really break outside the pocket because that can also hurt you too. But you want to find a way to box him in and get him on the ground, right? Get him to get him uncomfortable early and often. And then, look, create some turnovers. So, again, let's run this down, and I'm going to give you guys my pick. So, again, Eagles have the overall better team, like I said before, top to bottom on paper, better running back, wide receivers, O-line, D-line. They didn't have Saquon Barkley the first time around when they matched up against the Chiefs 2 years ago, which I do think will be a huge X factor and a difference in this game, which I do think that will allow them to control the clock more and keep Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs off the field for extended periods of time, which is the way that you beat the Chiefs, right? How do you beat Patrick Mahomes? Don't even let him get on the field. Keep him off the field, keep him cold, right? And I think the Eagles have the ability to do that with the running game that they have, right? They can just grind and pound you, you know, long sustaining drives, right? So put together those long extending drives where you're picking up third downs, picking up fourth downs and just extending, 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 right? 10 to 12 minute drives where you're just moving down the field and you're scoring, not field goals, you're scoring touchdowns, right? Saquon is one of two players with 400 rushing yards and 5 touchdowns in the postseason, right? The other player to do that, Terrell Davis in 1997. Ride Saquon, feed Saquon, let Saquon take you to the promised land. And, hey, control the clock, right? I do think that Eagles defense, you know, who is the top defense right now, I believe in yards, they're not allowing a lot of yards after catch. So they do play sticky coverage, you know, from the defensive side of the ball. So I do think that the Eagles defense will get some critical stops. I do think that they will force a turnover to. And if you hadn't guessed it already, I'm rolling with the Philadelphia Eagles, man. 31-28. Got to go with my boy Jalen Hurts, my boy Smitty, you know, my Bama boys, all the other Bama boys that's on the team. You know, I got to roll with the Eagles. I've always, the Eagles have always been one of the teams that I've cheered for and rooted for outside of, you know, the Bears. So I'm rolling with the Eagles, man. I don't think the Chiefs are going to three-peat. I think Philly, this is their time. Saquon is going to be the difference, man. And what do they say? Fly, Eagles, fly. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles. That's who I'm rolling with, man. But, yeah, I appreciate y'all rocking with me, allowing me to dive deep into the Super Bowl. And, look, before I let y'all go, I don't know what y'all are eating for the Super Bowl at all. I don't know what you have prepared, but just want to give y'all some insight into the menu that we have for the Super Bowl party that we're going to be throwing, well, that I'll be at. So we got the meatballs, we got the mozzarella sticks, we got the three or four types of wing flavors that we're doing. You got some spring rolls, look, some catfish. I mean, we're going all in. Of course, you got to have the chips and dip, right? Different kind of Doritos. You got the salsa. You got look, I'm not telling y'all where I'm going to be, but just know it's going down. But, yeah, with that being said, man, I hope y'all enjoy the weekend. Be safe out here. I'm trying out this new brunch spot. on Saturday, tomorrow, new brunch spot over here by where I live. Excited about it. So yeah, I'll be in there. Black owned, so shout out to that. And look, hey, with that being said, look, happy Black History Month, man. Happy Black History Month. Black is beautiful. Black is proud. Black is successful. And Black is excellent. Look, peace, love. Y'all be safe. I'm out.